Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hello, hello, hello. Leavers and believers, welcome to Leaving Hillsong. My name's Tanya and I'm so glad that you've decided to hang around with us for a little while. Please stick around to the end because we've got some in-house business to chat about with the pod. If you're new here, this is our little chat show about Leaving Hillsong. People who want to leave Hillsong, people who left, people who left a church like Hillsong, people who kind of just go, okay, cool, I left and I'm not being Lot's wife, so now what? Welcome to this conversation and to all the regulars, welcome back. Sorry it's taken so long to get this one out. Man, there's just so much going on every single day, so thanks for your patience. It's part two of a giant slot machine with James, who has a bunch of decades of mental health experience working on the front line in the field. And look, we were just sitting around chatting. Okay, fine, this is not, you know, sophisticated stuff here, but you know, had a bit of fun. We went through a few theories and, you know, pulled apart some Instagram posts. Just a casual little chat. So go grab those snacks and kick back and have a little gossip with us. Welcome to part two of the giant slot machine.
Look, you know, you can get these relationships where there's an controlling husband, and then you get relationships where the woman in the relationship really is quite controlling, powerful.
And, I mean, that's a very legitimate theory in terms of intimate partner violence. You know, that women exercise power in different ways, and that sometimes when there are, you know, extremely abusive, powerful men, there are women that benefit from that power directly, you know, obviously potentially at the cost of other women or people. So, yes. You know, they might not actually be, they might not be the actual perpetrator, but, you know, they sure get a lot of Louis Vuitton out of it.
They can be the great enabler, can't they? Oh, you know, certain foreign societies or, you know, militant Islamic societies where women are highly controlled and highly oppressed. But then you can get certain women in that situation who, you know, enact horizontal violence, or they become proponents of the laws and regimes that are oppressing them. Yeah, it could benefit them. It could be because there's no locus of control, that they're in a kind of strange way trying to have some level of control when they don't have any. and that can be by oppressing their own, you know, proliferating opinions or ideals that are generally harmful to those women, but by doing so, they increase their sense of power. They think they're going to have a little bit more favour in the eyes of their oppressors.
I mean, it's interesting as well, because women don't always have the physical strength. They can exercise coercive control on all different kinds of levels, you know, the culpability of people involved in that. And going back to your comment about Bobby's employment ending right after Brian, it's the most apparent evidence of this entire system being misogynistic. I remember when Carl Lentz was left, he was sent away, and not long after, his wife Laura lost her job. And the Americans, I remember, being quite shocked by that. Whereas I couldn't believe it. I thought, didn't they know that the women are just kind of attachments? They're like a something goes with the job. Yeah. I mean,
patriarchal system. So, yeah.
You know, that they were the pastor's wife. That's their role.
Pastor Brian, Pastor Bobby. But once Pastor Brian's thrown under the bus, Pastor Bobby's no longer Pastor Bobby, is she? She's just Bobby, and then gone. So I suppose whilst he was in power, did he wear the pants? Did she wear the pants? But, hey, once he had his pants removed, she...
Well, and it's interesting because, I mean, it's a it, traditionally, you know, the fundamentalist view is God is the head of the whole world and the universe and so on, and Jesus, and then your husband is the head of the home and the wife has to be submissive and all those kinds of things, and they mean it.
Islands in church, remember that one?
What's that one, sorry?
That scripture passage, you know, women are to remain silent in church. Oh, crikey.
I had that explained to me once. It's because the women just, you know, they're just loud all the time and they used to call out.
Oh, and... in the gallery and...
yeah, you know what they're like.
Heaven forbid they've got an intelligent question to ask about something really stupid.
I cover my devastation with bad jokes, but, you know, for however many years this woman has positioned herself as a women's leader and not addressed many issues that women actually have to put up with, particularly her demographic. So, you know, mothers and wives and stuff, you know, it's facing real life issues, you know, how to manage children, mental health things, in the issues that affect everyday people in the community, where women carry the burden. Mental health issues in the family, substance abuse issues, you know, like we say, violence, unemployment, all kinds of things. No, it hasn't been raised. And, you know, if nothing else, she has presented herself as a role model, and we can see exactly what she would have you do.
I don't know, just, yeah. The handbag slave phenomena, that was the one that's just always stood out.
Okay, how's that? Was that?
Yeah, there was a young bloke who was on the pastoral, you know, payroll at Hillsong, Brendan Brown, I think his name was.
Oh, yes, I remember him, the London guy, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, look, you know, we were seated over at one day at the Bella Vista or whatever it was, church in the big, what's the big auditorium called, the conference centre or something. And if you were facing the platform over towards the right-hand side, the bleachers up there, we were up in that area. You know, she came in with Brendan several paces behind her. You know, he was carrying her handbag and her, I don't know, numerous folders and whatever, and she'd sort of walk, and if she stopped, he'd...
Wow.
And she'd walk again, and then he'd sort of move, and... Yeah, we coined the term the handbag slave.
Well, that's what he would have been. And I say we all saw another one at court. There's a young woman that was following her around. You know,
Yolanda, not Yolanda. Was that Yolanda or something?
Not our girl Yolandi from Bible College, a young woman called Yolanda that has quite publicly stated how, you know, Bobby's come into her life and was an angel to her, and she's was behind some of that closet sale that was, and you know, Bobby's this fantastic person, and she, I've got to say, you know, as a PA or whatever role she's fulfilling, she was there early at court, carried the handbag around, you know, watched out for, like, so this handbag thing is what I'm saying, it's an official role you were on.
I've looked this.
Maybe she's frail.
Yeah.
Maybe she's frail. A few days.
Frail of ego, perhaps.
Well, I mean, it's, well, one can't possibly. It's very kind of 1950s celebrity, you know, that they have somebody like follow them with their luggage to the hotel. Fantastic, glamorous, just like Jesus. Actually, speaking of that, she's going to tell you how much she is like Jesus. Okay. There was.
The next one that's got the little
pop. Yeah, yeah.
Hey, this is what they're satirizing, if there's such a word.
Oh.
As a couple, pot plant. We believe in the God. We believe in the redemptive. Gee, she's had got a bit of a horticultural moment going on here. We believe in the redemptive power of the Lord Jesus, uppercase.
Yeah,
we,
she gets very Kanye with her caps lock and stuff, yeah.
We have labored for an environment that welcomes and connects people, life, and God.
In quotes, because I don't know if they're real.
Yeah, it must be some kind of marketing statement there. We believe in the potential of people in the generation. We believe in the church, uppercase, the beautiful house and sanctuary of God that is a reflection of the Father's heart and goodness. Yeah, I don't, that house is a bit scary, isn't it? We know firsthand that there is an enemy to kingdom purpose, advancement and influence. And through every onslaught, we have chosen to persevere. We hold no grudges against those who set themselves up as enemies of the cross within. The cross within. Okay. We pray for them. We know that humanity is flawed and broken and at times disappointing. Yet that has never stopped you, Brian Charles Houston, from making Christ-like decisions that enable God's sons and daughters to remain and press on into their future. As someone of caliber said last year, quote, it's like everything you've ever stood for others has been turned against you, yet you remain.
I mean, so does everybody on death row. Like, what does that mean? Just to remain. Sorry. And then that one has, that is second that I sent you, is the final bit where she goes, and therefore I remain alongside you. I mean, it sounds like a threat, doesn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
God knit our hearts together on this day 46 years ago, and here we are having eggs and toast and packing yet still for the terrain, territory and wonder of the days that lie ahead in Jesus' name. Do you want to do last one? Sorry?
Okay, the... benediction, is it? I love you, heart, soul, and strength. If anyone else is celebrating a special day today, then abundant blessings upon you also. Bobby, hashtag thy kingdom come, hashtag marriage, hashtag longevity, hashtag love, hashtag family.
Now, the first impression I got, please. Yeah, jump in. Is there's this kind of, like, he's being really elevated to this perfect Christ-like sort of pedestal or something for her? Or is she just sending that out to the world? Or is this a genuine adoration? What's the purpose of this?
Yeah, well, I don't know. It's probably not the beast and the image of the beast, but that's there's some kind of Messiah thing going on here, isn't it?
Or an attempt to. What was the thing about the despot and the spouse? Or am I out of touch track?
Cecescu and Nikolai and Elena, you know, who was it who really wore the pants?
Yeah.
Really, you know, controlling things.
I mean, if nothing else, you can't just have, like, no despot is an island, you know. They need help.
Look at other leaders, Bill and Hillary Clinton, who was in.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive and June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive and June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
Control there. Huh?
And by control, I mean, it's interesting because power shifts and it changes and relationships change and stuff. Yeah. But, it seems like with these couplings, they come to some kind of agreement between, I don't know how that happens, but, work together.
Well, Tanya, you might have the inside scoop here, but so, he's boozing and he's benzoing and he's, what is it called? Sexual texts or
something. It only happened twice. So once there were two bad days. Mm-hmm.
And what, so he was in a relationship with someone else or?
The official statement is, he sent some stupid light. I mean, they'd be G-rated, so boring. He sent a couple of texts to an employee that weren't perfect. And, 6 years later, there's that 40 minutes problem. We can't remember. Apart from that, fine.
And he inadvertently ended up in the wrong person's hotel room, and the next thing you know, they were naked or whatever.
Well, it's just, I wonder if this guy can pick the lotto numbers as well, because, knocking on the right door is lucky guy. Lucky, wasn't a stranger. Someone took him in out of the cold.
Yeah. They were being Christ-like. They were... extending charity. I'm speechless, but again, exhibitionism,
I love you heart, soul and strength. Isn't that the first commandment? Love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your mind and all your soul. And your Brian Hughes?
Thinking, when I get silly, I start reverting to, favourite movies. I'm thinking of What's Up, Doc, The other one, of course, I'm thinking of Monty Python's Life of Brian.
Well, and look, while I've got you, while we're on having a fun time, hang on. Who told you all these story meetings?
I remember it well.
That was an ad for a newsreader, Brian Henderson. Brian told me so. And Bobby probably sings that all day long.
And they hang on every word that he says, don't they?
I know everything I need to know because Brian told me so.
Yeah. Good good theology there.
The jury's out. We obviously aren't making any definitive diagnoses, surely. Certainly I'm not because, this is just a speculation here on Case Notes. about what the hell are these people talking about is what we could call them.
Correct.
What was that?
What are they about? What drives them? What lies beneath? What are these people really like?
And, I mean, they used to run an incredibly successful international corporation with multiple arms of business, and yet these statements, these things, it's just incredible.
Well, it's probably a conversation for another time or another pod or whatever, but what do you think triggered the undoing? Do you think it was the breaking of the law, the Crimes Act? I mean, is that the undoing, or was this organisation at some stage going to implode?
Yeah, you wonder, don't you? Because, I mean, you can only stretch resources so far, I guess. It is a very big question since those initial talks of stepping down, stepping back, stepping away. Why now? If there was an issue 10 years ago, 4 years ago, why now? Phil and Lucinda Dooley were brought over with an understanding by their seniors, you know, that they'd be pretty easy to push around, and it hasn't worked out that way. Did they fall? Were they pushed? Nobody really knows.
But then can a Houston family church that became a corporation, can a corporation really continue on nepotism alone?
Well, and I mean, you cannot produce the quality of the theatre and the, you know, all those kinds of the content that they're offering basically at that high level without the work of, you know, all those thousands of people over the years who worked for free. If you have to start paying them market rates and, you know, subcontracting, paying for venues, paying your taxes, you can't afford to put on shows like that.
Correct. So maybe slave labour and oppression will only last so long.
Yeah.
Or the slaves revolt. And I don't think of the college students, you know, disrespectfully, quite the opposite. They can't survive. You know, people are sooner or later going to go, hang on, this stinks, this is wrong. And like you say, if they lose their free slave labour workforce, then the theatre shuts down, doesn't it?
You can't draw that same crowd of excitement in a local warehouse. It just doesn't happen.
And that's other recent or current affairs that have happened as well, you know, coronavirus pandemics and shutdowns and, you know, people losing money, losing businesses, losing livelihoods, you know, of course, lately continually rising interest rate, with Hillsong's emphasis on money and a giant slot machine that needs to be continually fed with coin. If people haven't got it, they're starting to eat, you know, manky sausages instead of a chop and veggie sort of thing.
Well, they're okay with that, is what we found. If they believe that, you know, it's a continuation of the greater vision, but and from what I understand, because of the highlight, the media spotlight on the exploitation of labour, they've cut that out. They've cut some of the excesses out, which means that it's really not that appealing anymore. I mean, who wants to go to you could may as well just go to the Baptist church then if it's not going to be flashy. And so they're not going to have that labour
But then also think about, you know, when they couldn't even, they couldn't run their services, could they, during the COVID period? So it's like an opiate, isn't it? I'm sounding a bit like Karl Marx here, but those services and people going to several of them every week and being so heavily involved and probably exhausted, but it's like a drug. And
it's a very strong bond, isn't it? I mean, people form teams and relationships and networks and...
Yep. And they end up mistaking true spirituality for being part of a theatrical performance. You know, they get the emotional fixes, but it's not really nourishing to one's soul. So say these things stop. You can't go anymore.
Which they did, yeah.
Did So they lose that audience. It's a bit easy to be coerced into signing away your credit card number or sticking the money in the passing bucket when you're there.
It's the whole thing, isn't it? It's the whole anticipation and the whole build up and the emotions and the atmosphere and the emotions just aren't there online, hey?
It isn't. Like, yeah, I couldn't, even if I wanted to, I couldn't watch a Hillsong meeting on my iPad and have emotional response. You know, like someone I worked with was telling me how good it was going to a family's funeral online because all they had their dressing gown and they could, you know, clip their nails while they're at a family member's funeral. But hang on a minute, isn't there something wrong with that? Isn't there actually something wrong with that?
Well, not anymore. And, you know, apparently, and Catherine, who was on Everyone Makes Mistakes a few weeks ago, talked about having found a new church community online. And I think people's behaviour has changed necessarily. And it's just, you know, they don't have that exclusivity anymore. Like you're going to miss out if you're not there in person.
So it kind of leads to either a healthy or an unhealthy disconnectedness. And perhaps in the case of Hillsong, it's helped to kind of make people more individual in some cases and thought, gee, I can live without the hype. You know, it wasn't really the substitute spirituality. And then they're not feeding the machine and they're not there slaving their gutses.
And yet the sky doesn't fall.
But what are they doing now? I think they're auditoriums are 30% or less full with their meetings and that Robert and, you know, kicking their heads sermons and
people were posting last week from services saying it's full, which, you know, if you're going to something exclusive that's jam-packed, you don't advertise that.
Of course. And there's a difference between a midi glass being full and a schooner glass being full, isn't it?
Yeah.
Close off the upper bleachers and shut the screen doors and fill up the, having maybe 500 people in a room that holds 500 is full, but if it's a room that holds 3,000 and you've only got 500.
Yeah. They say that for, I don't know, hundreds of years, we existed in villages of, you know, 150 people or something. And once you get more than 150 friends on Facebook, things change and it becomes less personal. And
same with a church. I think 150 is kind of the critical mass number. Mm.
So it'll be interesting to see what a smaller group does then and how they influence leadership. I don't know.
Yeah. Let's see what happens. Great chatting again.
Thank you so much for your time. I don't know, is there anything people can make of all this talk of narcissism and power abuse? And I don't know if there's anything closing.
Just my suggestions are read, ask questions, be satisfied that if you when you have questions that are not answered, don't give up on the questions. You know, we don't always have to get an instant answer. I had a professor in the field I work in say to me years ago, you know, the true philosopher or PhD is not afraid to sit on unanswered questions and let it foment, and then, you know, eventually you might get the answers, but it's okay to have the questions. I think this is what we've got to do. We've got to sit with our questions and we've got to, read and seek and think and ponder and, you know, I suppose that's what I do. What drives people? Are they people of conscience? Are they people with a good soul? And, of course, who was it who said, by their acts you'll know them, or by their fruit?
I don't know. Was it a pastor or some?
It might have been some Bible. Good talking to you, Tanya. Take care.
Bye.
Bye.